Bill Paxton was an ex-ranger, one of the bravest by far. It's said that old Bill was the fastest man ever to pin on a Ranger star.
All you Texas Rangers, wherever you may be, I'll tell you of some troubles that happened unto me. My name is nothing extra, so that I will not tell. And here's to all you Rangers, I'm sure I wish you well.
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger.
Hi-Yo Silver, away!
With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early West. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Well, there you have it. That's my synopsis of what I know of the Texas Rangers, but some guy who's been many times, a number of years researching this. And if we go back to yesteryear, Doug Swanson, author of Cult of Glory, you've got a whole different picture to present to us this morning about the Texas Rangers. Good morning. Appreciate your time.
Hey, good morning, and that was quite a musical intro. Thank you.
Well, that's where we get our, you know, Hollywood or dime store novels, so to speak, of a lot of things that happened in the West related to the Rangers. Take me to the point when you decided this is a topic I wanted to explore and look at.
Well,
the Texas
like
Rangers.
Like many others, I grew up watching Ranger shows on TV, and I thought it would be nice to look behind the legend. I mean, were many brave, honest, dedicated, courageous Rangers, but the real history is not so friendly to the legend when you start looking at it in depth.
So to take us back to there, what was their original role? From what I was reading, they're sort of like, I use the word taming the West or Texas. Tell me about how they came to be, actually.
Well, they came to be in 1823, just a few of them starting out, and their role was to fight Native Americans in Texas, most notably the Karankawa Indian tribe, which most people have never heard of. But that was their role for many years, was to pacify the wildness that was Texas. And that meant fighting Indians and later Mexicans and Mexican Americans.
And who was putting this together? What kind of government or law was there that they were being sent to do this?
Well, the Rangers came into being when Texas was still a part of Mexico. So, ironically, it was the Mexican government that helped form the Rangers initially. Now, the Rangers later became one of the biggest enemies of the Mexican government, and Mexicans and Mexican-Americans, they were acting really as death squads along the border for many years, fighting bandits, but also just wiping out innocent people and villages full of Mexican-Americans.
Taking me to some of your research, what's some of the things that you've uncovered in this book?
Well, as I said, there were many very brave Rangers, many who lost their lives, and Texas would not be Texas without the Rangers. The Texas was extremely wild and violent back in the early days. At the same time, the Rangers acted as executioners. They would just roll through towns, especially down on the border, and they would pull all the women and children out and execute all the men and the young men. I mean, this happened again and again and again in the early days.
Now, when did we start getting sort of the romanticism of, well, we do it for the West, but for the Texas Rangers and so sort of what people think of them today?
Well, that started back in the 1800s. The Rangers were very adept at creating their own legend, and they have many, many writers who were willing to help them out. Zane Grey was one of them. And then in the 1900s, especially in the 1930s, that's when the movies started. You know, the Texas Rangers were just an irresistible figure for cinema. And there were hundreds of movies, especially these Saturday morning specials about the Rangers, almost always presented them as heroes.
Well, modern day, we have a baseball team named the Texas Rangers. So those words are still spoken, during our summertime right now. We're waiting for that to happen. But I recently saw a movie with Kevin Costner, with the Texas Rangers are going after Bonnie and Clyde. And I thought, I don't understand this juxtaposition. It doesn't seem like it fit. But there was a point where they sort of went to legit law enforcement, correct?
Yeah, they were initially a paramilitary force, and then they became the state police force. And I saw that movie. It was a good movie, but it wasn't really very close to the truth. I mean, Frank Hamer, who was involved in, was not a ranger when Bonnie and Clyde were killed. That, again, that's just part of the legend, and Hollywood has never been able to resist that legend. There's just a fuller, more interesting, and less flattering story that goes with this.
Well, we've been speaking sort of in generalities. Can you talk about any specific people or those who were rangers for many years and maybe some of their exploits or things that they were involved with?
Oh, sure. I go back to 1855. There was a ranger named James Callahan in Callahan County, and Texas was named for him because he was a legendary Indian fighter, supposedly. But what he really did that made his reputation, if you look at the real story, was he went into Mexico in 1855 trying to hunt down runaway slaves and bring them back into Texas to sell. His mission was a disaster. He had to burn down a Mexican village to escape. But his friends and people in the Texas legislature spent years rehabilitating his reputation, so that all that has pretty much been erased, and now he's just known as a courageous Indian fighter.
Were the Texas Rangers just within Texas, and were there similar groups in other areas at the time?
Oh, there's state police everywhere, but there's never been anyone like the Rangers, and they are the oldest state law enforcement agency. They're coming up on almost 200 years now. There are state police in many states, but no one like the Rangers. No one has this image. No one has this history.
Talk a little bit about some of the things you've uncovered during your look at from these archives that you found quite fascinating.
As I mentioned earlier, the Rangers were notorious along the Mexican border, especially in the early part of the 20th century. They were brought in by the white landowners to force Mexicans and Mexican-Americans off their land. And eventually they became as feared along the border by Mexican-Americans as the KKK was in the Deep South. The Mexican-Americans, the Tejanos, saw the Rangers as a terrorist organization.
Talk a little bit about that, I guess, on what side you are, or maybe your ethnicity, or where you fit into the culture at that time, is whether they were a friend or an enemy.
Oh, absolutely. It depends on who you were and often what color you were. There was a land boom going on at the time in the Rio Grande Valley, and many of these Mexican-American families had been on this land for generations, but they may not have had clear title to it. And the white landowners wanted them off, so they often had the Rangers come in and force them off. If they wouldn't leave, the Rangers would kill them or burn them out. The Rangers were functioning as for the Anglo power structure. And it's sad to say at this point because the Rangers have changed, but that was their function back then.
That's who was paying for all this?
Oh, the big ranchers. The people like the King Ranch, which is a legendarily big ranch in Texas. The owner of the King Ranch helped fund the Rangers, gave them money, gave them horses, gave them guns, all for these purposes.
The book is called Cult of Glory, The Bold and Brutal History of the Texas Rangers. Our guest today, Doug Swanson. I also see you kind of recently made news related to a particular statue. If you could share that story briefly with us.
Sure, there's a statue, was a statue of a Texas Ranger in Love Field in Dallas, the city airport, the home base of Southwest Airlines. And when the book came out, some of the people at the city read a chapter in the book that talked about this statue. The model for the statue was a Ranger who stood in the schoolhouse door back in 1956 under governor's orders and helped keep black students from enrolling in a segregated school. So he was the face of the Rangers for the city of Dallas and his statue for many, many, many years, the better part of 60 years. Once the book came out, the city moved in very swiftly last week and took the statue down and carted it away.
If people want to find out more about the Rangers in your book, where's a good place to get some details on that?
Well, you can go to the Amazon.com, or you can go to your local bookstore. Or I have a Facebook page, Doug J. Swanson. Any independent or chain bookstore should have it right now. It just came out, so
and who's
out there.
Who's the gentleman on the cover?
His name is Andrew Jackson Soule. He was a famous Ranger back in the 1800s, and as you see, a very handsome guy who liked to dress up.
Very much so. We appreciate your time, Doug. Thanks for sharing the stories with us today.
Hey, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Doug J. Swanson joining us.